This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Friday, January 29th, 2010. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts for this show. And hey, Ryan, I had a question for you.
Yeah, what's up, Beau?
Do you want to come over this weekend and wash my car?
Not really.
Okay. Well, who do we got on the phone today, Ryan?
We're going to be speaking with Sam Silverstein today.
About what?
About overcoming objections.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get to it.
Sam Silverstein is joining us today to speak with us about overcoming objections. He wrote an article entitled Overcoming Objections in the February 2010 edition of the Toastmaster magazine. A little background on Sam. Sam is the past president of the National Speakers Association. An expert on organizational leadership and growth, he is the author of many books, including No More Excuses. And he spoke on that topic in his keynote presentation at Toastmasters 2009 International Convention in Connecticut. And I'll add that I was there, and it was a fantastic presentation, one of the most memorable of the entire conference. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast.
Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Ryan and Beau. It's great to be here, and thanks for those kind words.
You bet. Great to have you with us. Sam, I want to start off by referencing in your article about overcoming objections. You speak of the process of overcoming objections in sales terms, although I sense that your focus isn't exclusive to those who are in sales as a profession. So could you please describe for us the broader application of sales to all of us in everyday life?
Okay. Well, there's two ways of looking at this. That life is a continual sales situation. Yes, you could be selling cars. This is true. But most of us that even aren't in sales, we're selling ideas or concepts. It might be as a speaker that we're selling an idea or a belief that we want the audience to latch onto and accept and implement something based on that idea. It could be a discussion you're having with a peer at work and you want them to accept your ideas or thoughts or techniques. It could be a conversation with your spouse or with your kids. But no matter whether you're selling a concrete product or you're selling an idea, believe me, it is a sales situation. There are objections and there are challenges.
So what you're saying, Sam, is we're all salesmen, whether we know it or not.
We are all sales professionals. That is correct. Some of us get paid for it. Some of us don't. But that's the situation we're faced with.
Gotcha.
Fair enough. Sam, I think a lot of people, many of us, think of objections as obstacles to making the sale. But from your article, I got the sense that you would maybe frame it more as objections as stepping stones. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, because what happens is when someone voices an objection, what they're doing is they're sharing their concern and or need. And if you can truly understand what someone's need is and you can satisfy that need with your product, with your idea, then they're going to want what it is that you're sharing. And so the fact that they're voicing an objection should be giving you something or providing you some information that you can work with to help transfer the enthusiasm for your idea or your product and make the transaction happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, you share six techniques in your article for overcoming objections, and I don't think we're going to have time to get to all six of them, but let's start off with the first one, which is to prepare for the objection. Meaning to anticipate in advance the complaint that you might hear from the other party and prepare a response for it. What are some suggestions you could give us or give someone who's pitching an idea for the very first time and doesn't have the benefit of having already heard objections? Something to help them get in the other person's mind.
Before you would do anything as a professional, you would want to do it as an amateur and you would want to practice. And so I tend to go back to practice. And if I'm calling you up to try and sell you on a concept, or if I'm getting ready to make a speech in front of a large audience, I have to go someplace where I can trust people's input and get their feedback and say, hey, Does this make sense? Is this train of thought logical? Will people buy into the concept? Because if there's anything that gets in someone's way, if there's an idea or a concept that people don't buy into, then what happens is they stop listening. So it's very simple. Go to someone you trust, someone who has experience, and get their input and see what possible objections they can come up with.
It sounds like this is an ideal thing to do at your Toastmasters Club.
Well, absolutely. That's why in Toastmasters you're going to the club meetings, you're working on your presentations, you're testing things out there, then maybe you're going back to work and putting some of the material that you use at Toastmasters to work and play. Well, that's what you're doing. You're testing it.
Just another reason why honest feedback is so important in your Toastmasters Club. Instead of whitewashing.
Ford and GM don't release an automobile until it's put hundreds of thousands of miles on the test track. Same thing.
Right. I think there's another advantage of preparing for objections in advance. Besides just being prepared to answer them eloquently, there's the boost to your confidence that you know whatever the other party is going to come up with, you're going to have something to say that makes sense and will hopefully persuade them.
Absolutely. It puts you in a position of power and authority. You feel better about yourself. But also, if you can discover what some of these objections are in advance, then what you can do is you can deal with them. You can eliminate, if through your practice you discover what objections some people may have to a concept, an idea, presentation, or even if you're selling a product, then the responsible individual is going to take those objections and then look at their situation and say, well, maybe I need to modify my offering. Maybe I need to modify my presentation. Maybe I need to modify what I'm asking my audience to do or modify the features and benefits that go with the product that I'm trying to sell. So by test driving your presentation or your offering, you're going to get feedback that will allow you to modify or change or adapt, which means you're going to be eliminating objections before they even come up.
Nip it in the bud.
Well, exactly. And, you know, sometimes the objection is there. There are some things that there are real objections. You can't eliminate every objection prior to it coming up. And so one of the things that I suggest is to bring the objection up yourself. And if you bring an objection up yourself, it reduces the severity of the objection and gives you the opportunity to discuss possible solutions or workarounds. So rather than trying to hide from something and pretend it doesn't exist, throw it out there on the table, recognize it, and disarm it.
That's good, because then not only if you bring it up, you get to address it the way that you want to. It reminds me of the typical line that a lot of speakers use. You know, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this guy is nuts, or this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. And then you go on and explain why you do know what you're talking about.
Well, and then exactly. So now you've disarmed the audience or disarmed the individual you're working with,
right,
and the objection's gone.
Yeah. I like it.
Very good. Sam, let's move to your second technique, which is about looking forward to the objection. I think to some of this, that notion sounds about as natural as looking forward to a root canal. what do you mean by looking forward to the objection?
Well, nothing in life is easy. We're going to run into obstacles. We're going to run into objections. And so you can either realize that you're going to be facing objections, look forward to them, deal with them, take the positive aspect that we've already discussed of what objections can bring to a situation and work with it, or you can run and hide from it and you're not going to get anywhere. And it sort of goes to a point that I make in my new book, No More Excuses, where I talk about that we're accountable to manage the process. And objections are just that. Objections are something to get in the way of the process. You have a strategic intent. You're trying to accomplish something. But you run into an obstacle. And at that moment in time, you have an option. You either throw your hands up and say, well, if it's not meant to be, I guess it's just not meant to be, and leave it to fate, or you can own the process, you can manage the process, and you can deal with the situation. And by looking forward to those challenging moments, because those are the moments that define who we are, by looking forward to those challenging moments, then you're going to be more comfortable, you're going to be more confident, you're going to be more prepared, and you're going to be in a situation to take the responsibility, deal with the objections, manage the situation, and be able to move forward on your strategic intent.
Right. Hey, Sam, there's one thing that I didn't see in your article that I bet is in your book, and this has to do with excuses, of course. When people usually make excuses or give you their objection, isn't it most of the time initially just a reaction? Like, no, 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 not interested.
Well, I think we're sort of, it's like if you walk into a store today and someone walks over to you and says, may I help you? You're going to say, no, thanks. I'm just
looking.
Yeah, just browsing.
Taught over the years to say that. And so that's exactly what happens. If that individual managed the process better and then would say, I understand there's something specific you're looking for. Is there a need that you're taking care of? Is there some, you know, is there something that I can show you that's going to be of benefit to you? And now they're managing the process and they're working around your initial objection of them engaging in your presence in that store. I mean, that in itself is an objection. And so it's a question of who's going to manage that process. And by being accountable to do that, you end up getting the results you want.
Right.
I'm hearing this common thread through each of these techniques of being proactive.
That's really the basis for growth is proactive action. You know, it's not just thinking of something. It's not just knowing that you need to do something. It's action, and it's being proactive. And so it's being prepared. It's like any situation. Any great athlete, you know, they train before the game, not after the game. Mm-hmm. They're ready when the whistle blows. And it's the same way in life.
Right, right. Sam, let's move to your third technique, which is all about putting yourself in the listener's shoes. And as you describe that in your article, you mentioned that sometimes the person you're dealing with is skeptical based upon past negative experiences with either similar products or services or ideas. But in other cases, you say they're just stalling, basically stalling on making a decision. So how can we tell, as someone who's trying to persuade, which type of person you're dealing with, the person who's just truly skeptical or the person who's just stalling and doesn't want to commit?
Well, I think it's important to ask questions. And when you ask questions, you get information. And that information helps you react and make decisions on which way to go. And I think it's only natural if someone's had a bad experience and they're going to be somewhat skeptical of a similar situation when it presents itself. It's like the child that's afraid of a dog. Chances are that child has been snapped at by a dog or barked at or something like that. Bad experience, next time a dog comes up, they naturally react differently than someone who owns a dog, who has a positive experience with a dog or a pet. And so it's the same way in real life. By taking the time to learn what the other person's point of view is in the situation, you learn, you adapt, and then your offer is that much better.
And Sam, with your fourth technique, keeping the customer's needs first, I wonder if there's a little bit of an ethical quandary here sometimes. And let me explain what I mean. Let's say you're trying to sell someone on something, but you get the sense that your product, your service, your idea just really isn't the best solution for that particular person or that particular situation. Yet your job is to sell as many of these widgets or ideas as possible, and that's what's going to put food on the table for your family. What would you advise someone to do in that situation?
I totally disagree. There is no ethics situation here. Your job is not to sell as many widgets as possible to put food on the table. Your job is to help people to solve their problems and to be of value and to continue to deliver value. And to the degree that your product or service delivers value, that's when you want to engage them. And when your product or service doesn't deliver value, then your job is to find a product or service that does deliver value for them. And even though you're not making a commission or you're not making a sale, the relationship that you build transpires into future business. If we are truly trying to serve other individuals, whether we're speaking and sharing an idea or whether we're selling a product, we're only serving them if we can deliver value, if our ideas have meaning and purpose for them, if our products can serve a purpose to add value to their life. And when they don't, because there's not a good fit, then we need to find out what else we can do to add value for them and help them on their way.
Well said. And Sam, the final thing I wanted to ask you about is when to call it quits in the process. You know, sometimes you get the impression that the other person just isn't going to buy. Maybe they're genuinely interested, but they just seem to have an endless stream of questions and challenges. How can you distinguish between the person who is eventually going to commit and the person who'll just waste your time from now until the end of the year if you allow them to?
I think you can try very diligently to deliver your value. I think that as long as you're managing the process, you're not allowing someone to throw an objection at you and you go, okay, I understand, and turn and walk the other way. But you realistically look for reasons why your idea, your product, product or service delivers value. And you go through several of these. At some point in time, the realist has to stand up and say, maybe the time is not right. Maybe it's not that the product or service isn't right. Maybe the time is not right. Maybe you need to re-engage them at another time. But I believe that if it's going to make sense, then what's going to happen is you'll realize that it's going to make sense. Mm-hmm. And they'll realize that it's going to make sense. And if you overcome two or three or four objections and they're still stalling or still putting you off, then I would just look to find another way to engage them at a different point in time and move on. But keep in mind, it's very difficult to discern that and keep from allowing people to always put you off. You never close the sale. You never share your idea. And so it's a difficult issue that you brought up, and you have to deal with it one by one.
Gotcha. Makes perfect sense. Sounds like some good stuff, and I take it that we'd find more of this kind of information in the new book that you have coming out. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and where we can get it?
Sure, absolutely. No More Excuses, The 5 Accountabilities for Personal and Organizational Growth. It was just recently released and immediately shot up to number one on Amazon under Business and Leadership Motivation Book. You can go to nomoreexcuses.me, M-E, and the links are there to take you right to the page on Amazon or Borders or Barnes & Noble, wherever. Or if you just want to go to the Concrete bookstore and buy it there, it's available as well. But nomoreexcuses.me, and I look forward to being able to share those ideas with everyone.
All right, Sam, thank you very much for speaking with us. We appreciate it, and we hope to see you maybe at the 2010 conference.
It'll be my honor.
All right, you take care.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, that was a fantastic interview, and I did learn a lot. Ryan, let me ask you this question again. Do you want to come over this weekend and wash my car?
No, I'm still not convinced.
But why not? Why wouldn't you want to come over and wash the car?
Well, it's a long drive from my house to yours, but I mean, you know that. It's over an hour.
Yes, but you do like to listen to audio material while driving your car, don't you?
That's true.
You did mention to me before that it's a relaxing time that you get to spend yourself and enjoy some good content, did you not?
I did mention that, yeah.
Well, there you go. I'll see you at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I could do that.
All right, very good.
All right.
Thank you. Well, if you have any listener feedback for this show or any others, we'd love to hear from you. You could contact us by sending an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. You can find us on Twitter at @TMPodcast, or you could, of course, go to ToastmastersPodcast.com, post on our blogs, or find some other information there. And you could actually also call. Ryan, what is that number?
Our listener feedback voicemail line is 1-888-451-8862.
And that gives you up to 2 minutes to leave a voicemail feedback, which we will play on the air at one of our future podcasts. Thank you very much for listening, and once again, thanks to our guest, Sam Silverstein. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.